BioTalkRadio.com.
The program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Ash.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Bloodlines colliding, friends turning, and people winning briefcases. It's Money in the Bank. It's WTR Sunday night. Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTR live chat. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. And you can also use credit code RocketSucker to 499 item shop, because hashtag epic partner. The Canadians decided that even though yesterday was Canada Day, that they wouldn't show up to work tonight. So it's me, the producer, Sir Rockin, and the intern, Kane Kittens.
The half-Canadian.
We have a half a Canadian. Instead of two and a half, we only have a half.
And because it's me, I'm never going to, you know, I never want to miss a day of work, so here I am.
Here he is, and they're all celebrating Canada Day Part 2, I guess. I don't know.
They're watching hockey, they're drinking maple syrup, they're doing all of the Canada thing. Maybe having a Molson, I don't know.
Who knows?
But you know what we do know?
What's that?
There was a premium live event last night.
There was a premium live event yesterday afternoon here in the Americas, in the evening over in the UK, which is why it was 3 p.m. here, noon where you're at. Then you just do the math from wherever other location you're from. So you knew the start time so you could watch the show. But here we are with the two of us. We sat here. We watched the show. We commented on the show together. We would have tweeted all our thoughts and opinions, but yesterday Twitter was having a panic attack, so...
Twitter is having an identity crisis. It only wanted to, you know, be seen by a limited number of people at certain times.
Yeah. It was a scary, scary time. But to start things off, we had two crazy Money in the Bank ladder matches. We had the men's Money in the Bank ladder match that there was a crowd, a contingent, who wanted one man only, yeah, to win. And then everyone else would get booed when they were trying to reach for it, when he was trying to reach for it, yeah.
Well, there was a second guy that they were kind of behind.
But I'm just saying...
The hometown boy.
I mean, they were behind a lot of them. But if they were up against, yeah, even if it was the hometown boy... Yeah, they got booed.
You know, the funny thing about this ladder, the men's ladder match is, when you looked at the field going in, it felt a little weird. Because it's like, okay, of all the people that were in the match, Shinsuke was the only world title holder, correct?
And not even a WWE world title holder. He was NXT champion.
Right. And then you had Pete Dunne, Butch, who was the NXT UK champ, but
they were guys that never made it, which is a good thing.
Right. It was one of those, like, you looked at this and it was kind of like, there wasn't a standout, like, main eventer in the field. And you were kind of like, huh, this is intriguing. They're gonna give someone a chance tonight.
Which is what you want to see. You want that someone to get that opportunity to grab that briefcase, or sometimes people call it a brass ring, and run with it. And that's what the men's Money in the Bank ladder match was all about. Even for the women, with the result of it, it's someone new, someone fresh. It was not an established, fully talent on the main roster in terms of someone who's had championship gold in a singles variety, so that made it even better. But with the men, you had guys who could use the opportunity to do something good with it.
They could elevate themselves to be at that level. And truth be told, I would say two guys in this match came out looking really good.
And which two?
The first one's Knight, because...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, going into the match, the man had the crowd.
Oh, God, he did.
At the end of the match, the man had the crowd.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, you know, we all heard when he got called up to the main roster, someone didn't think he was going to, you know, that his age would allow for him to really shine on the main roster. So that's why he was made a manager.
Which they mentioned on television on Friday.
Yeah. The funny thing is, this is one of those cases where the crowd would not allow something to happen. Because ever since LA Knight got up to the main roster, people have been really pushing and fighting for him to, like, no, give him a chance in the ring. Let him be a performer. And once he got that chance, oh shit, everyone's behind him.
Say what you will about the Bray Wyatt feud, it put him on the map. The end result of the match may have not been the best thing in the world, but the feud itself, him being in the ring with an established world champion in Bray Wyatt, elevated LA Knight to a spot where, okay, he's coming out of a gimmick where he was the guy coaching models to, he's back to being himself, LA Knight, yeah.
And it's one of those things where, you know, LA Knight can perform really well in the ring. Like, the way that he can jump to the top rope to deliver that superplex,
yeah.
I still don't know how fluid he can get up there.
I know.
Because looking at him, you're like, he probably shouldn't be able to do that.
No.
But he does it so effortlessly. And then he has it's overused in terms of cliche, but he has it. He has that connection with the fans and that ability to just take a microphone and draw people in.
And he always has had that connection. Even back when I remember LA Knight, long before Impact, when he was on that reality show that The Rock was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's always had that charisma. I don't even remember what the reality show was called, but he was on it, and I remember him from it, and he always had that attention. He was always looking for, like, that moment to stand out, and he's always stood out, whether it's been in NXT, in Impact, and now on the main roster. It's like, people connect with him because he has the it charisma factor to him that you cannot teach in a warehouse or anywhere in the country.
Well, and here's the funny thing. When he was in Impact, just like in WWE, he gets a one-word catchphrase over. Something that you shouldn't really be able to do. Like, you know, The Rock has his sayings and everything. And for this, it's just, yeah. And everyone loses their goddamn mind. And you just look at it and you're like, how? But in a good way.
Yeah.
Because it makes you want to be like, how does he do this, and how can we bottle that for other people? Because no offense, and I'm looking at another company who just turned someone heel who has the, I would say, overall charisma of a potato.
Yeah,
he drops a forced line in his in-ring promo about cashing checks and banging the hottest bitch in the company. It sounded so forced for him, and it was so out of character, and it was so bad. And then you get LA Knight, who just walks out and can run everybody down and simply just go, yeah. And everyone's just like, yep, okay, we're behind this. Huh?
There's a phrase from a guy you don't really want to talk about, but he always said it, and you can't teach that. Because you can't teach what LA Knight has.
No, you can try and teach, like, promo. You can try and teach, you know, camera presence and ring awareness. But just that ability to capture people in a singular moment.
You're either born with it or you're not. That's the thing.
Yeah, you have it or you don't. And it's like when Dwayne first started, he was just that happy-go-lucky guy with, you know, the big poof of hair and everything.
But he had it, though. He had the smile. Yeah. He had the look.
He had the smile. And then it's like they turned him heel. They gave him a microphone and they let him go.
Yep.
And that's when he went to the stratosphere. Same with Steve, you know, Austin. Austin could cut a good promo. And, you know, they gave him that 316 moment and it just launched him. This event here is going to, you know, if you look back and LA Knight is main eventing in 3-4 months, this is the thing that catapulted him to that point.
Yeah.
Because he came out of this match. You know, the spot at the end where everyone thought he was going to do it because he cleared the ring and there was the case and he starts to climb and everyone's going nuts. And then Damian showed up.
And then Damian Priest came in and robbed the opportunity. So he's your other man who came out of this looking good, I would take it.
Damian Priest, we've heard if you follow, you know, the web, you've heard that for a long time, WWE has been impressed with Damian Priest. It started with him and Bad Bunny, you know, kind of taking Bunny under his wing, and what he did at Mania and beyond in showcasing and helping him in those moments.
He's being rewarded now for being a team player with the Bad Bunny stuff. That's what this opportunity is with him. It's like he's gone out of his way. They deep pushed him a little bit. He became the background player in the Judgment Day for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But he stood tall. He worked with Bad Bunny. He got Bad Bunny over and protected Bad Bunny throughout it all. This is his reward to be Mr. or Senior Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and the one of the other things is both of these guys are in their 40s.
Yep.
Which just goes to show, yeah, you can get some people with experience, put them in the right spot with the WWE of like, okay, you've wrestled on the indies, you've gotten yourself established, you've kind of worked your character or whatever character you want to do. Let us fine tune how we do it here and go.
Yeah.
And that's what we've seen with these two, because Priest, I guess over the weekend, he's been wrestling Seth Rollins in main event spots. And apparently everyone is like, oh my God, this is great. Like, they're both performing well.
Damian performed well with Cody the other day on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
But we talk about them, and we'll get back to them in a second. But we got to talk about the other elephant in the room in the match.
the one that everyone just kept beating the shit out of?
Logan Paul. Okay, he proved he belonged in the ring with him. He did not look like a celebrity in the ring, just happy to be there.
You know what? For the past three, like, celebrities that they brought in, Bad Bunny, Logan Paul, and in a sense, Pat McAfee, they're showing that these guys put in the work. And they're willing, I mean, in the case of Logan Paul, they're willing to go all out.
So let's talk about it. The one big spot of the match that everyone talked about that could have gone seriously wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The Ricochet Logan Paul Spanish Fly, where they get pushed off they were pushed off the ladder. They were going to land on the ropes and then do the Spanish Fly, but they got hung up and figured it out. And Logan almost landed on his head, but his back's all fucked up. But
yeah, his back and his shoulder are a little, you know, cut up.
But the fact that they landed the spot where they could have just abandoned it, but they didn't.
Yeah, and you know, kudos for Ricochet for working with him in that too, because you know it was both of them on the fly being like, okay, you good? You caught up on that? All right, let's go.
You're standing there. All right, we got 2 seconds. One, two, go. And they went, and I went, holy shit.
Yeah,
I hope they're okay.
The funny thing is, we're watching the event, and Rock just messages me in all caps, oh shit.
I hope they're okay.
They're all right.
And I tweeted the same thing. It's like, holy fuck, are they okay? It's like, because God, he landed on his head, and I went, that's the last thing they would want.
Yeah, go check on him, please.
And the ref was right there on him. So it was like, okay, we're good. We're good.
Yeah. But yeah, we had Pete Dunne looked good in this match.
Who?
Butch. Sorry.
There you go.
Butch looked good. Nakamura, you know, had his good spots. He's never a big, like, ladder / flyer, but
he held his own.
He needed to.
Everyone was fine in the match.
Escobar was fine. Got their spots to shine, and that was good.
Yeah. So, Senior Money in the Bank, Damian Priest, and then there's the women, which was the story of teaming up against others for a while.
Yeah, including some teams that you didn't think would happen.
Representing the Judgment Day.
Oh, God.
Bayley.
Oh, that the first person to come out, and it was representing Judgment Day, and I heard those words, and I was like, wait, Rhea's not in the match? And then Bayley, and I went, oh. And then immediately after was representing Damage Control, Io Shirai.
Io Sky. And then kudos to Bayley, who tweeted with a picture of, congrats to both of my teammates.
Oh, the sassy Bayley is great, Bayley.
So we had some... Bayley attempted to cost Io at one point.
Shoved her off the ladder, and I like the...
She didn't mean to. She didn't know who it was.
I like Wayne Barrett. Oh, she's just, you know, it's just a competitor. It's just, it's fine. It's great. Io does the same thing. That turncoat! And you just have Michael Cole in the... Wade, you just said it was a smart move on the other side. Don't tell me what to say, Michael.
I thought everyone looked good in the match. I thought Trish handled herself well in an environment that she's never used to.
Mm-hmm.
I like the use of the handcuffs at the end. That was a nice touch.
We've seen handcuffs involved in a ladder match before, Jeff. But it was interesting because you thought, okay, she's going to get handcuffed to the pole. That's going to take her out of it. No, Becky fought off. And then it's like she used the cuffs innovatively to drag Bayley down.
Yeah.
using it as a hook in the mouth. And then using it to essentially get to the finish and in a very smart way neutralize two of your biggest competitors.
It's like, here are your two Hall of Fame candidates eventually right mm-hmm. there as the upstart Io Sky climbs above them. And the best was the picture that was tweeted out afterwards. It's like, Becky's all... And you look at Bayley, she's trying to hide the smile, but she's smiling as Io's just up there excited, holding the briefcase.
Well, and you can play that off, because it's like, Bayley can have the smile of like, all right, you got me. Like, all right, I see you.
So the idea is that it's their briefcase, apparently, according to Io. It's their briefcase.
It's the Damage Control collective case.
Yes.
But I like the fact that it's like when Io cuffed Bayley and Becky together, she climbed over Bayley.
Yeah.
She climbed over her partner. And it's like, okay, they can run with this a little bit if they need to, or, you know, let it simmer, or just like, all right, yeah, it's the Royal Rumble. Every man or woman for themselves. Got it,
yeah.
But yeah, this again was a good one. Zoe looked good in this match as well, considering, I mean, for as little as she's been on the main roster and for as green overall as she is, still came off looking good, including that flying, I don't know what she did on the outside.
I don't know, but yeah.
It works.
Whatever it was, it worked. That's for sure.
Zelina incorporating the Chancla again.
All right, that's enough.
It's a fun little spot, but it needs to be special.
She brought it up on Monday too, I think it was. She used it. It's like, okay, it was cool in Puerto Rico. We brought it back. It's gonna get old if you keep, you know, if you do it once a year, cool. Twice a year, fine. But now it's okay. Stop.
Yeah. Now it's getting close.
Too repetitive. But yeah, this was a good. It's not. This won't be go down as an all-time great ladder match, but it was a good match on this show.
Yep. As long as Io does not cash in on Monday, we could have a decent run with the briefcase, which we've only had once before in the history of the women's Money in the Bank.
This is true, and since she works Fridays, we have a good opportunity for that.
Yay! Yeah. Io try to cash in on Rhea and watch what happens.
So Rhea takes on Natty on Monday night.
Oh, wait, are we actually getting that match?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Six-time Guinness World Record holder Natty, apparently.
Apparently. Yeah, apparently. Most matches, most wins, most appearances on something.
Most Raw, most SmackDown. Yeah.
But,
so yeah, both Money in the Bank ladder matches were good. I mean, they aren't going to go down in history as, you know, the all-time greatest.
But they weren't meant to be.
No, they were very fun matches. They were entertaining. They had their spots. They featured the people, you know, all the people in the match well. They did their job.
They didn't go out there trying to kill themselves except for Ricochet and Logan Paul.
But those two always want to.
And they always want to. But that's the thing. That's all you needed. They worked as safe as you can ladder match where mm-hmm. you didn't need to do ridiculous spots because this crowd itself was already going to deliver the hype. You didn't need to kill yourself to get the crowd excited.
God, Hunter brought it up at the post-event press conference where it's just like, you know, yeah, I've been to London before. I've been across the pond, you know, and he's like, and we know you people are lively. And he said it very tongue-in-cheek, but you can tell he meant it sincerely in the fact of like, we wanted to come to London. We wanted to reward this. And yeah, we know it's going to be a crazy crowd. And they let them have moments to be crazy, which was great.
We're going to talk about what the crowd could get here in a minute. But first, I want to talk about Seth Rollins, Finn Balor. This was good. I don't know if it was a great match.
No, I this match is all about setting something up moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, Damian come out at the end, tried teasing, maybe.
Teasing a cash-in and then teasing something with Finn?
I mean, that's very possible. So it feels like that could be a direction. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this match felt like it got some time cut. It may have not have, but it felt like...
I think it got a little bit cut considering what came before, or...
Yeah, the...
Segment. A little before it.
Yeah, it felt like that.
Yeah.
It felt like they were waiting to get to that final gear and they never got there.
Mm-mm.
But that's fine. It was a solid match. It was a good match. But it's not an all-time classic, like, oh my god, I'm going to go out and go watch this one again. Because it wasn't put in the position to. Like, this is why we say, if you're not last, you should be first. If they were given the opportunity to be first and open the show, they would probably got more time and be able to do more things. But because you've put them second to last, you just see crazy ladders and all of this other stuff. So a traditional regular match for world championship kind of loses its value on a show
like
this.
Yeah, it gets pulled back a bit.
Especially what followed it over...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. What it had to precede, you, no offense, you weren't going to be able to rival it.
Right, so they didn't try.
No.
They went out there, they did their match. I was very disappointed in Seth Rollins. He was very casual in his attire. There was nothing over the top for this show.
Okay, look, you know, it takes a lot to get, like, over-the-top costumes through customs, okay?
No, you can't say that because he took this gaudy thing to Saudi Arabia.
Saudi's a different thing. You can private jet there. And,
they private jet, you know,
the government lets stuff through.
They private jet it to London. Don't give me that.
No, only a couple of the guys.
Only
were on the
a couple
jet.
Of the
couples. Otis and Damian and Ricochet and, you know, that group.
That group. No, they were all there.
No, I'm just kidding.
And then the couple guys came in private jets later, but we'll get to them in a second.
Yeah.
Because they flew in. So Seth is your world champion. There's friction. There's drama in the Judgment Day. I mean, that's good storytelling for Monday.
Yeah, we're going to see a little bit of, like, remember, the Judgment Day is there's no real leader, was what the whole storyline has been for them.
Yeah.
Because when they kicked Edge out, it was all, you know, oh no, there's not a leader. We're all together. Now we're going to see how that works, because is Finn going to be like, you screwed me? And Damian will be like, you screwed me, and yet I still got this. And then you've got the other two, which are kind of off on their own thing.
Speaking of their own thing, Dominic Mysterio took on Cody Rhodes, who finally ditched the cast on the arm.
Yeah, okay. This is part of the thing where I was going to say London is just a crowd on their own. Normally, everyone gets involved with one part of Cody's theme.
Whoa!
Yeah. This crowd was singing the entire thing.
Adrenaline in their soul.
Yeah. And you can see Cody had the look on his face like,
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. We're doing this. We're doing this thing. Okay. Okay. I see you.
Damian comes out with bandoleros.
Dominic.
Or Dominic. Yeah.
Got all the ammo on his chest. Rhea looking at him. We're like, okay. I see you.
Rhea had her special haircut. So
she,
good for her.
She did.
I loved the story that, they were saying when Dominic was coming to the ring of like, oh yeah, apparently he got in trouble here, so they threw him into the Tower of London, so he's been incarcerated not only in the US, but the UK.
Yeah.
I know, Lindsay's of that mindset of like, yeah, you need to drop the whole dumb, you know.
No, I think they should keep it. Everywhere they go, he should be in prison. Hard times for Dom Dom. Hard times. Oh, hey, this is your cast reminder. Hey, Chad, if you want to add free experience, use your Amazon Prime link in your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button directly below the screen. Anywho, they didn't have to do much. The crowd was into it the entire time. It was a solid match.
It was, so I think when we first read this match, we all kind of assume it's going to be kind of one-sided.
And it was.
I think some of us thought there was going to be a neutralizing factor that would show up at some point.
Yeah.
That never came, and so we ended up getting the, okay, like, don't get me wrong, Dom got some offense in, but for the most part, it was fairly one-sided.
And that's the way it should have been. Cody wanted to beat his ass. Cody beat his ass. Dom got his spots in. Dom looked fine. And that was what it should have been. It was a mid-card match with a top-tier talent to keep him on the show, because he had to be on the show. Brock wasn't going to be on the show because he wasn't advertised. He'll be at SummerSlam. He'll probably be on Raw tomorrow. But he was not going to be... He didn't show up, but Cody is the top guy of the Raw brand, despite Seth Rollins being the world champion. It's Cody's show. And Cody has to be on this show. Because
Cody has to be on the show.
If you went to London without him, people would complain.
Yeah. You also had to give Dominic a chance on this show as well, because he is the guy that is getting the best reaction.
Yeah, and you have to spotlight him.
Yeah. Putting him out there with Finn against Seth would have gotten a reaction, but I don't think it would have been as much as putting him in a match with Cody.
Yeah, spotlight him.
And trying to pull him up a little more.
And he elevated him. And even in a loss, he was elevated because he was established now. Okay, he's now in the ring with main eventers.
Yeah.
He's not in there with Akira Tozawa, and no offense to Xavier Woods, not Xavier Woods. He's in there with Cody Rhodes now. He's in a main event spot.
Mm-hmm.
And with the heat he has, he deserves to be in a semi-main event top-tier spot on that roster.
Yep. And also, as we talked about, depending upon what happens with the Judgment Day, you have to set him up to be able to stand on his own, in a sense. I mean, he'll still have Rhea there, because I think that's still a package deal. But you need to be able to, like, yeah, feature him in matches as opposed to him being, oh yeah, Rhea's lackey in a four-man group.
Yeah.
So this gives him a chance of, like, and I mean, when he got to perform, we can see, yes, he is a capable wrestler.
And that's what all he needs to be.
Yep. He doesn't have to go out there and hit super high spots. He doesn't have to do all that. Just throw out the, you know, some of the Eddie shade, some of the Ray shade, and just live off of the crowd hating you.
And that's what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Intercontinental title was on the line. Gunther, Riddle, another solid match.
Yep, like we thought, it was going to be a bit hard-hitting. I like the story of playing off of Riddle's ankle.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those, if you're going to have Riddle lose to Gunther, at least this kind of softens it a bit.
Yeah, there's protection.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I mean, not much protection after they ripped the tape off the ankle, but protection nonetheless.
But the storyline protection of he came in injured.
Yeah.
It was a gutsy performance against the top-tier talent in Gunther.
And it shows Gunther's both, I want to say, like, a little bit of savagery and a little bit of cunning in the fact of, like, he's targeting the leg, and then he's pulling out, like, some submissions that you didn't normally see from him.
Yeah.
So it's showing that there's even more dimension to Gunther, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, if he has that, that makes him even more dangerous. Oh, shoot.
Which is what you want. But Gunther retained, but that's not the story.
No, he stood in the ring, and when the camera lingers for a little bit, you know something's coming.
Drew McIntyre's back.
holy shit, that pop.
He got a hell of a reaction. He got a hell of a reaction on this show. He went face to face with Gunther. He took out Gunther. Holds up
head to head with him.
He went head to head and then knee to head.
Yep, the 3, 2, 1, bam!
Claymore to the face. Holds up the Intercontinental title. Gunther, Drew, SummerSlam.
Shut up, take money.
There you
go. They're going to bludgeon each other.
They are, in fact, going to bludgeon one another, most likely at SummerSlam.
Oh, it's going to be good.
And apparently SummerSlam could be the end for one Ronda Rousey. So on this show, we crown new women's tag team champions Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, which the match itself was a pretty good outing from all four women involved.
Mm-hmm.
But Shayna turned.
Shayna turned out of nowhere.
She did. I was like, you blinked 1 second. Oh my God, she turned on her. What? What's going on here? No one saw it coming. Neither did Ronda. She made Ronda pass out and then allowed Liv and Raquel to take advantage and walk out with the tag team titles. This is the end of Ronda Rousey, it seems. Go very, very soon.
Yeah, she's going to have that write-off here. She wants to wrestle her friend.
And then
she's going to get it.
She apparently gave WWE a date of, here's my last day. Let's get there.
And we don't know if it's for good or if it's just another Ronda hiatus, but we're going to find out.
I think it might be the end.
Well.
And that's fine. She came back. Yeah. She had a run. She had a second run. Let her be a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the child...
She's going to help her friend.
Yeah. The child's getting older a little bit, like 2-3 years old now. She's got to be there. Like, you understand that part of it.
Yeah.
Because she came in hot the first run. The second run, she won the Rumble and then everything like that. It hasn't been as good, but there's circumstances behind it. And then she got injured before WrestleMania, so that slowed down whatever this angle was supposed to be.
Yeah, there's talk that this was supposed to have more cracks behind it and you know, lead into this. But it's like, as you said, if a date has been listed, now you can't really adjust it too much. Got to work with what you got.
Yeah, because I think the idea, the original idea before she got hurt was to put the belts on them at WrestleMania, right after WrestleMania.
Yep.
But she was hurt, so that extended by like 6-7 weeks to where they couldn't put the belt, so they got the belt a couple weeks ago, and now they're just rushing through the drama to get here. So we'll see how it goes. Ronda Shayna looks to be a thing for SummerSlam. There's one match to go, I believe, right? Yeah.
There's a match to go, but there's something else to talk about.
We're going to WrestleMania in London because John Cena said so.
When those trumpets hit, I think everyone went, wait, what? John's here?
No one knew.
No. We had the Cody match, we had a commercial break, and then it's like they come back to the arena and you're waiting for, you know, whatever music to hit for the next thing, and you hear the trumpets and everyone just turned and looked straight to the entranceway.
So the only thing I knew was we were getting a Grayson Waller segment. That I heard.
Okay.
But it didn't say with who.
Yeah.
All I saw on Twitter was there's going to be a Grayson Waller segment. It's like, okay, cool. Give the, because he's over and stuff. So, okay, we'll give him 5-10 minutes to, like, cool, like, keep the crowd going, but it's basically a little mini intermission before we get to the two main events. It was like, yeah. Okay, cool. Get some heat with the crowd. But no, it was John Cena in all his glory, and he's out there promoting like WrestleMania London, and then Grayson Waller comes out and says, no, we'll do it in Australia.
The Waller coming out at first got some booze. The second you're in the UK and you suggest that something goes to Australia?
Oh, over. Boy.
Over. Everyone was just like, nope. What are you doing?
You want to talk? We talk about LA Knight. Yeah, on a rise. Grayson Waller's on a rise. Yeah.
Yeah. Waller is just the guy that you loved. He's got that Miz quality where you let him talk and you're just going to hate him.
And apparently he's been out there about hurt for a couple months, which is why he hasn't wrestled and just been talking.
Yeah, he got hurt in the championship match with Hayes.
Yeah.
He messed up his leg. But again, if you've got someone that can talk and hold a crowd, even if you're injured, you can still get used and still get over. And Waller is an example of that. You can have him do the Waller effect. It's like Kevin Owens. If Owens ever gets hurt, just have him do the KO show, and people will either be eating out of his hand or just wanting to see him get his ass kicked when it's ready.
And taking the AA from Cena at the end didn't hurt him at all, because he's a smooth talker, but he's elevated because he was in a ring with John Cena, as Michael Cole calls him the GOAT.
Yeah.
Which Wade Barrett took very much offense to. Later in the show.
I like that Barrett kind of played both sides with this, in terms of like, okay, you know, I have history with John Cena, but at the same time, it was like, hey, John's doing a good thing here announcing for the UK. I gotta give him his credit.
He may have talked me into being a fan of John Cena after all these years.
Yeah, after all this time, I may be a John supporter. We'll see.
We'll have to see. So will they go to London or will they not go to London? Hunter was not as over the top and about it, but
I think
London wants them, they'll get them. Just gotta pay the money.
Yeah, you've got to show that you've got the infrastructure and you've got to fork up the money to try and get Mania. It being in London throws some things off, as we saw tonight or yesterday, with like, okay, how's the timing for Mania?
That's been my always been my argument of, especially with the two nights now. It's like, I don't know if the timing works, but because they're becoming more of a thing where time isn't a factor,
yeah,
they could pull it off. Before then, it was weird because it was like you only had once a year where the time would be off. But now it's like, here's this one, here's Saudi. They're not all 8 p.m. Eastern because they're not. It's doable more.
Well, and the two things play into this a little bit better. One, just the, as you mentioned, the overall globalization, and I think seeing how Saudi shows do, seeing how Money in the Bank does, makes it easier to go, okay, people will tune in at noon, 3 o'clock for this. Okay. And I think splitting it into two nights absolutely helps. Because if you try to do a one-day WrestleMania in the way that it is, you know, trying to put in 10 matches, oh, hell no. Because you're going to see with things like All In, like if AEW runs a five-hour show for All In, oh, God.
Which they will, four and a one-hour pre. It's kind of his MO. It's what he does.
I know it's his MO, but God, that's going to be so draining.
It always is, but...
And it's gonna throw off your entire freaking day to do it like that. Ugh. And then he's gonna do it again the next weekend.
Yeah, it's kind of Tony's thing. But if it wasn't a shot at another company, it sort of felt like, hey, if you really want the product, pay up, because we'll come here. And I think that's what the thing is. And Matt brings in Peacock. WWE WrestleMania in London is very much dependent on a streaming service continuing to air WWE content. Because if it's pay-per-view, it will not work. But if
no,
it's
because you need
streaming,
all of the eyes to be able to.
At any time they want. Mm-hmm. Because we'll see it with All In. If it's not streaming, you're going to be it's not going to do as well because it's going to air at 3, not at 8. And that will be the difference.
Yeah.
All right.
I fully agree with that.
Main event. The Bloodline Civil War. Tell me about it.
The promo earlier in the night, where we had our usual Caleb Braxton, Paul Heyman segment, played into this so beautifully. Because normally you have Paul, who's braggadocious. You know, he's willing to talk up his tribal chief and all of that. What I like about this was, Paul came out of the room with tears in his eyes. He came out emotional and was just like, you know, I've known this family for 30 plus years. I've never seen Roman like this. I've never seen the family split the way that it has. And the threat that Roman has on, you know, basically ending the Usos. It wasn't just defeating the Usos. It was ending the Usos. It made this match feel that much bigger, because even though we've seen the split, even though we knew it was the four of them, the Bloodline, this really did feel personal. And especially because it's like you had two brothers going up against the younger brother, and, you know, the, is he, I don't know, is he technically an uncle or cousin?
Who?
Roman?
Cousin? Yeah.
You know, and the cousin that's kind of leading him astray. And you had Jimmy and Jay who've been sitting there being gaslit for like 2.5 years and finally getting their chance to get their hands on Roman for all of the shit that he's done.
Yeah.
But what I really love is some of the interplay that you had in the match and some of just the like talking and chirping that you got to experience with the mics. Because there was the one time that, like, Solo was in the ring, and Roman is trying to call him over. Like, you know, tag me in. And Jay just looks at him and goes, yeah, you don't want to make Daddy mad. And Solo just looked at him with death before he tagged Roman in. But it's like, those are the moments that you need. Because, as we've seen, a Roman Reigns match isn't just a match, it's a storyline.
Yeah.
Embedded in a match.
As it should be.
Yeah. And with this, it was, you know, Roman wants to teach the guys a lesson. He wants to reiterate he is the tribal chief, and Solo is the guy who's, you know, the right hand and the enforcer. But the whole thing going into this was, what happens if Roman loses? What happens if, you know, if Solo loses, does Roman start to question him?
Yeah.
And the whole thing about this match that they kept bringing up was Roman hasn't been pinned since 2019. Almost 4 years, Roman has not been pinned or submitted. And we learned that's going to play into the finish.
And it did.
It did. It was, and there was also another little callback in the match at the very end. So I think it was it Jay that was on the ground and Roman was going for the pin?
I think, I don't remember.
I think it was Jay because I think it was also a Jay match in which this happened. Or no, it was a Kevin, I think. But there was the one spot where Roman's going for the pin and you get 1, 2 and the shoulder comes up, but the arm went up higher.
Yeah.
And Roman got nutted.
Oops.
But again, that, I remember that from a Roman match earlier where it was like 1, 2 and Roman does the same thing and the guy was like, oh God. And it's what led to the end of that match. So it's a nice callback to earlier in the story. And now it's all coming full circle on Roman. But ultimately, the best tag team in the history of WWE showed why they're the best tag team. And brothers have been down since day one.
And now they're the ones.
They are the ones. And they get the win on the tribal chief.
They in fact did. He got the pin. He took the pin.
He took the pin.
I don't know. And I don't know how I feel about it.
I like it because now you sow seeds of stuff between Solo and Roman. Either Roman's wondering where Solo was, or Solo's gonna look at Roman and see that he's ripe.
Yeah, but also at the same point, it's like, you really wanted that to be the end of the title reign, where he finally got pinned. It would be the first pin. Now it's like, he's beatable, like which is the story they're trying to show you, is he's beatable now. He's not as godly as he was.
The Usos aren't there to protect him anymore
yeah.
in the end of the matches.
So he's showing some weakness, and I get that part, but at the same point, it's like, 9,000-day title reign should end with him taking the pin then, not in a tag match. But what can you do?
I understand, but I think also it sets some things up a little bit better with Roman being pinned, because it's like, if Solo had taken the pin, then it turns very much into, you know, Solo, you need to step up. Like, you know, I thought I could trust you.
I could trust you. So it's now Jay should be number one contender.
Mm-hmm. And there was one other moment at the very end that was really kind of a nice touch. When Roman got pinned, if you watch the Usos, it's like Jimmy's kind of overcome with emotion. He's sitting in the corner, like realizing what happened. Jay is really excited because it's like finally he's been able to like cast off all of this. And I want to say at one point Jimmy walks over and it looks like he's even going to try and like pick Roman up.
See, I don't remember that.
I want to rewatch it because I could have sworn like Jimmy was going to walk over and Jay kind of comes over to him to like stop it.
That makes sense.
So, because I mean, you still remember, this is a family. This is still, you know, blood relation. It's just a matter of, you know, it's a civil war and...
Apparently it did happen, yeah.
And, you know, things, you don't want it to just be, you know, absolutely like, oh yeah, we hate his ass. It's like, no, they're still family and it's still like, you know, I want to check on my cuz.
They're going to still have to eat Thanksgiving together at some point.
Yeah, we still got to meet up at Christmas. You know, the family table.
It's going to be Christmas at the Usos.
But it gave them that moment of like, you know, yeah, this is our time. We the ones.
We the ones.
Yep.
So that was Money in the Bank. good show, entertaining. All WWE premium live events have been pretty good. So we roll into SummerSlam, which should be pretty good from all accounts. Probably many surprises along the way. And probably have more matches than a normal show. Probably an actual 4-hour show.
Yeah, I have a feeling they'll start it just a skosh earlier, just so that way they still get...
I think we go
maybe
four...
Maybe it starts at 4?
No, I think we still get 4 hours, 8 to midnight, but because they're central time zone, they'll be alright.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But you have housekeeping before we go.
I do have housekeeping. Alright, so we had 9 people participate in our pick'ems. Tim and Rob sat this one out, so...
No, what did Tim pick?
Tim didn't pick.
Did Tim not... Tim picked.
Did?
Yeah.
Damn it, hang on.
He's in here. He's three and something.
Oh, there we go. Okay, hang on. Give me a quick moment so I can do this.
Chat, as he figures out his job, I would like to remind you, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular... click the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use carrier code ROCKETSOCK at the Fortnite item shop. Because we are hashtag epic partner, there's going to be summer skins and all the things and the Fortnite Battle Royale. Because summer starts on July 4th in the video game. Was that long enough?
No. Almost, just calculating the results.
Carry the one and all the things.
Sky one, Rollins one, 1, 2, 3. He went 3 and 4.
That's an answer. Wins. I told you, yeah. I did the math before you. Come on now, catch up, keep up.
Well, I have to make sure because I have to slot him in over here. Okay. All right. So we had 10 people.
10. A big 10.
Yes, we had 10 people in here. And we're going to start at the very bottom. And it was Chris P. who went 2 and 5.
All right.
Tied for 7th place, we have Keishi, Tim, and the 8-Ball.
All right. Go them.
So 2 Canadians and an inanimate object. Good job. Tied for 3rd place, we have Team One Brain.
Nice.
Rock, Lindsay, myself, and the wheel.
Okay.
I want you to realize something, Rock. We have a tie at 1st place.
Yeah, I know.
With Sheila P. and Sub.
Nice.
We lost to Sub.
It's okay. But we stayed on the same path with the AEW expert.
Yep. And I would like to reiterate the fact of, for this pay-per-view, only one person picked the men's Money in the Bank winner.
And who would that
only
be?
Only one person. And that would be not just our AEW expert, but our, what I would call, WTR Pick'em expert, Lindsay Ward. We're gonna get it here in a little bit. But yeah, so Lindsay is now going to be making picks for everything because she just knows her stuff.
She's an expert in all fields.
There it
in
is.
In the sports and entertainment world. So there you go. But that... in fact, is our show. Tomorrow night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, the expert of all things, Lindsay Ward, hosts the Rack Live at 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, it's Fortnite with Friends, followed by CB Radio Live, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Rob should be on the show this week. It's a Rob week. It's a Rob week. Let's give
it a Rob week.
It's a Rob week coming up. But we'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, maybe with Canadians. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter and Instagram. WTR Live on TikTok. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim's on the it's at WTR on Facebook and Twitter. If you want to follow him, it's at Flamethrower. But follow Keishi on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. He has a Redbubble. Link in the bios on both Instagram and Twitter. It's at Kyle Driver. Britt is on the Twitter at.
You can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens.
Anything else?
Okay. You can also find me at Saturday nights on CB Radio doing the Interns Corner. You can get to learn stuff, movies, trivia, all that kind of fun stuff. And then, you know, Fortnite with Friends in here. And also, whenever there's an AEW pay-per-view, you can always hear on CB Radio, Not So Live.
There you go. It's not expert opinions on AEW, but it's close enough on CB Radio, Not So Live. Chat again, if you have Amazon Prime, link at your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. Use Cranko Rock Second to Fortnite Up Shop. Because hashtag epic partner. We'll see you all week long along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live right here at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTRLive. And I'm always fighting like it was my bread and butter. We at the top and nobody gon' get above us. Hey, tripping with chains, I be looking kinda. Double my money, I ain't a sucker. Trying to have enough to be eating what they don't wanna. All of my people like they gon' love us. Hey, trust me, don't mess with my shoe ties. Get out there, I'm on the cross for the moonlight. Number one spot, we the best, cause I lose ties. Cause we gonna get them checks in our future.